Normally our focus is on pondering the word, but we know, especially anyone following the Anuam spirituality, that we don't only ponder the word, we ponder all the mysteries. And one of the mysteries we ponder today is the arrival of our two sisters from the States. You probably know this visit was planned for April of 2020. I think you had tickets. You had tickets already for April or not yet? I don't remember. April, May of 2020. So, they were planning to come here more than 2 years ago. Of course, nobody was going anywhere in April 2020. So that was prevented. You could say that the Philippine government prevented them, or the Bureau of Quarantine prevented them, or international protocols prevented them. But looking at it from the spiritual perspective, it was God Himself who prevented them. It was the Holy Spirit. You think of those passages in the Acts of the Apostles where Paul tried to go to, I don't remember where, Bithynia or someplace, and the Spirit prevented him from going there. He said, well, that was God's will for whatever reason. I remember talking to them and saying, well, you know, let's wait a few weeks for this thing to blow over, you know, come later this year. That didn't happen. 2020 went by us, didn't happen. And then they wanted to come visit Sister Barbara, of course. That didn't happen, it wasn't possible. Sister Barbara passed away a year ago, they weren't able to come. Then later in 2021, it was still impossible. So finally, the Lord has opened the door and our sisters have arrived, and they're here for the first death anniversary of Sister Barbara next week. So this is one of the mysterious providences of God that we ponder. Well, we're not in charge of these things. We have to accept the closed doors as much as we have to accept the open doors. God is in charge. We're His children. We are His servants. Okay, so welcome to our two sisters. The themes of the scriptures today are very familiar because we've been reflecting on these things all week. In fact, this gospel sounds very similar to what we heard on Sunday, the instructions to the 72 disciples. The 72 were told, go out and proclaim the kingdom of God is at hand. Go out without any money, without any walking staff, without any sandals. Exactly the same thing that Jesus says to the 12 in this gospel. Go and bring peace, proclaim peace. And if the people don't accept peace, well then, at least you'll still have peace. So very similar instruction and a reminder to us of what we're doing here. We are sent out by the Lord to proclaim the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. The first reading also brings up a similar image, not exactly the same, as we saw on Sunday. Remember on Sunday, the first reading was that beautiful description of Jerusalem as a nursing mother. And the people of God were like the child fondled in her lap, a very tender image of the care that the Lord has for His people. Well, today's first reading, this is from Hosea, is not a nursing mother, but a tender father who very gently guides his little child, raises the infant to his cheeks, teaches him how to walk. I remember saying a couple of days ago that all the natural, beautiful natural experiences, human experiences, are reflections of God in some way, whether it's courtship and the love of a bridegroom and a bride, or whether it's the love of a mother for her infant child, or whether it's the love of a father for his children. These are all ways of revealing God's love for us, our relationship with God. This is why it's so tragic when these very basic human realities get distorted. You know, there's a widespread rejection of fatherhood. of motherhood, of marriage, of what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman. And when those things get lost or distorted, well, then we lose another image of God's love for us and of who we are. It's not as if God had to look around and try to say, well, where can I find something that will reveal my love? Those things come from him. Motherhood comes from him. Fatherhood comes from him. The love of bridegroom and bride, they come from him. They're not something he just found and said, well, this is pretty close. These flow directly from God. So it's terrible to lose them. Anyway, so the message here is a very positive one. The kingdom of God is at hand. The love of God is at hand. Salvation from sin is at hand. Come and accept the invitation. That's the mission of every Christian, to say, look at what good news we have. But then, at the very end of the gospel, Jesus talks about what happens if someone doesn't welcome the good news. It will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. This came up in Sunday's gospel too. If someone doesn't accept you, yes, shake the dust off their feet, and they're going to suffer worse than Sodom. As it turns out, if you look in the Gospels, Jesus mentions Sodom pretty regularly. And this requires a little bit of reflection, because it sounds to our ears as if it negates the message of the love of God. Here we're talking about God being so loving, like a tender mother, like a tender father, like a bridegroom's love for his bride. And then all of a sudden he's going to send down fire from heaven and destroy a whole town. It sounds to us like, well, that means he doesn't really love us that much. And if we go too far over the line, then he's going to destroy us. And sometimes people do take this wrongly. In fact, there are some people who seem to think this is something to proclaim, as if we're supposed to be threatening people with fire from heaven all the time. Well, you better change, you better not sin, or you're going to be destroyed by fire from heaven. That's not exactly how it's conveyed here. Remember what, put this in the context. Jesus says, here you are, here's your mission, go out and proclaim the coming of the kingdom. The coming of the kingdom is the first message. Repentance is the result of the coming of the kingdom. It doesn't, people reverse this. They say, repent so that the kingdom will come. Repent, make yourself worthy so that God won't destroy you. No, God already loves us. The kingdom of God is already at hand. The message of the gospel is already here. Mercy is already on offer here. So what's this about the destruction of Sodom? There is a consequence if we refuse the mercy of God. There's a consequence if we slam the door in God's face. That's what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, and that's what Jesus says happens to people who don't welcome the good news. It's not a rejection of sinners. It's sinners who reject God. So I hope that's clear, because sometimes people either reject this message about Sodom, which is part of the gospel, or they distort it, or they just try to delete it, as if there's no consequence for sin and everybody's happy and everyone goes to heaven. Well, from God's perspective, everyone should go to heaven, and he wants everyone to go to heaven. He wants everyone to rejoice in the kingdom. But it doesn't mean that he forces it on us. Okay, so this is the good news that we proclaim. This is the good news that has been entrusted to us. The first recipients of this good news are us. The 12 have to welcome the good news before they have something to offer to others. This is what Jesus says: without cost you have received. We receive the good news first. We receive the mercy of God first. Then, without cost, we are to give. We're not burdening anybody. We're not judging anybody. We're sharing with others the gift we have received. Now, when someone doesn't receive the gift, when someone refuses the gift, this is where the image of shaking off the dust comes in, or the image of the peace that we offer coming back to us. Jesus says we should not let the refusal of anybody destroy our own peace. Why? Because we should not subject the kingdom of God to those who refuse it. This is hard for us because we say, well, gosh, if my son or my daughter or my husband or my wife it refuses, I'm grieving. Well, so is God. So is God. But we should not lose hope. We should not despair because of the seeming rejection of anybody. We should not react only in a human way. I think this line from the first reading is a good instruction for us. When he says, when God says, my heart is overwhelmed, my pity is stirred, I'm not going to give vent to my blazing anger. Then he says, for I am God and not man. I'm God and I'm not man. I'm not reacting in a human way to you. And God doesn't want us only to react in a natural way. We're being instructed on God's way of relating to us and his way of relating to even people who reject him. His heart is moved with pity. He grieves for those whom he loses, but he doesn't lose his own peace. He doesn't lose his joy. Heaven is not going to be destroyed because someone doesn't enter. So that's part of the message of the gospel. If someone does not receive you or listen to your words, go outside that house or town and shake the dust from your feet. It doesn't mean you're not bothered by it, but you're not destroyed by it either. Move on, continue to proclaim and live the good news. The kingdom of heaven is at hand.